If you would open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3, it's my prayer and my heart's desire that I would say nothing that the Lord is not saying, and that what I say, I would say it the way the Lord would say it. You know how sometimes somebody repeats a conversation, but they twist the way it was said. We don't want to twist what the way the Lord is saying stuff. You could say the right thing the wrong way and not have the right effect. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Father, we pray tonight. We've come this far to hear your word. Father, speak to us what it is you're saying. We know that you know best. Church, we got to be committed to that right now. There's got to be something in us that is willing to hear and yield. If you try to walk with God, but you have walls up, then what happens is, because of your failure to yield the direction that he leads you in, then all you're left with is the sacrifice. And because all you're left with is sacrifice, it feels like law, and the joy runs out. The joy comes from walking the direction that he calls you to walk. Otherwise, it just feels like a bunch of rules, do this and don't do that, instead of a relationship. And the enemy works hard to pervert his character, the Father's character, as good. But if you yield with him, to him, and you go the way that he calls you to go, then you find joy. Amen. Joy is significant. The Bible said it was for the joy set before him that Jesus endured the shame of the cross. So joy is something that's significant. It was the motivation to go through such a horrific death, was the joy that was set before him. Are you with me?
Yep.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
I'm taking 17 of them, counting Dave and Jet, to New York in February to minister at a church up there and to get some good Italian food.
Amen.
Amen. Chapter 3, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his paths straight." Now, John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him. And they were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that was the kind of the robe clergy of the day, those that represented the law, coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers." That's one way to call out the religious. "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And here's where we're going. Verse 11, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire."
Yes.
Amen.
Amen,
amen. I want you to go now. We're going to come back to Matthew later. But I want you to go to Mark chapter 1. This is the next book. We'll start in verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. His attire has been established now. Right? That's what he wore. And he preached, saying, "There comes one after me who's mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Amen. Did you guys get that? Okay. Let's go to Luke chapter 3. Next book. Just establishing some things. I love this. Luke chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, he was the emperor, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of the region of Galilee, his brother Philip tetrarch of Etura and the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias tetrarch of Abilene. While Annas and Caiaphas were high priest, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert or in the wilderness. I just want to stop there for a second. It established all the governing authorities of the day, from the emperor to the governor to the regional leaders to those underneath them to the leaders of the church, of the temple. Annas and Caiaphas were high priests. So all these men have all these titles, but the word of the Lord didn't come to any of them. God's not impressed with worldly titles. You understand? I said, he contrasted. All these guys had all these titles, but the word of the Lord came to John, not in the temple, but in the desert, in the wilderness. And we already established all of Judea, all of Samaria, the entire region went out there to the uncomfortable place of the wilderness and the desert. Why? Because the word of the Lord was with him. Well, what did he say? That's the important thing, right? He went into John. The word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the desert, and he went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Then he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones, and even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire." So the people asked him, saying, "What shall we do then?" And he answered, said to them, "He who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none, and he who has food, let him do likewise." Then tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "What shall we do?" And he said, "Collect no more than what is appointed for you." Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, "What shall we do?" So he said, "Do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely. Be content with your wages." You know, he's talking to everybody about right where they are. You know the proper way to behave. Behave the right way. Now, as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts, this is important about John, whether he was the Christ, that means the Messiah or the Anointed One, the Son of God that had been prophesied to come, John answered, saying to all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Okay, now I want to stop for a second before we go to the book of John, okay? The word of the Lord came to John, and he was a powerful preacher. Can we agree? Yes. It attracted everybody. That's what I said. Everybody went out there to hear this man speak. And he was such a powerful speaker, and the word of God was so strong and effective and with such authority in his mouth that people began to reason and wonder, could this be the Christ? Because he had been prophesied all through the Old Testament, I've taught you this, that the Son of David was coming. So they're looking for him, and so they wondered, is he the Christ? And so he answered the question. He said, the difference between me and the Christ, me and the Son of God, me and the Messiah, is I baptize with water, he does not. All right, some of you got that. I think that's a significant point. He does not baptize with water, but he does baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. When they reasoned in their heart and said, could this be the Son of God? He said, let me answer you that question. This is water. I'm not the one that you need to be concerned about. It's water. The baptism that the Son of God brings doesn't come from the earth. It comes from heaven. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right. Let's go to the book of John. We're going to start in... Where is a little Bible study tonight? John chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 29. It's just the next book. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me. For he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Do you know what's shocking in light of what I just read you in four Gospels? There's debate in Christian community whether there's even a baptism in the Holy Spirit. Listen, it's very rarely that you find something in all four Gospels. Sometimes you'll find it in two. Sometimes you'll find it in three. There's times you even find something in one of the Gospels. But there's very few things that you will find that are in all four of the Gospels. And the more that it is communicated to you, the more significant it is. John came baptizing with water, but he said there's one that comes after him. And the one that comes after him is the one that baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to show you something that maybe you've not picked up on before. Okay? Let's go back to the book of Matthew. Is it good so far?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Amen. Matthew chapter 3. Listen, when I was kind of young in the Lord and just real hungry and thirsty, and I had a Bible. I used to carry the Bible around with me for years. It was like, I didn't really understand it, but I wanted somebody to teach it to me, you know. And I remember when I got in a church that they actually opened the Bible and you were encouraged to bring your Bible, and I was so excited. And I have to put myself in some of your shoes. And so far, if I was listening to what was being said so far, here's what I would be thinking. I want that baptism. Right? You've been water baptized. That's the less. You understand? All right. Chapter 3. And we'll go to verse 10. Actually, we'll go to verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who's coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing hand is in his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. Hello, barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, watch this, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Now, how many have read that before and assumed that he meant in the water? He's not talking about the water. Do you see that? It's like, I don't need to baptize you in the water. You're the one that I've been telling everybody about that has the baptism that I need. Isn't that significant? And yet the man could preach to the point that people thought he might be the Christ. But he recognized that there's something more. There's a baptism not with water, but with fire. There's a baptism that comes from heaven. This is significant that Jesus is the one that baptizes. You know, I think my personal opinion is the baptism of the Holy Ghost is one of the most holiest moments in the entire church, because it's connected so deeply to the blood that he shed on the cross. Show me Hebrews 10, verse 29, if you will. I was preaching this before I found this verse. I had this revelation, because the Bible says this: on the last great day of the feast, Jesus cried out and said, if any man thirst, let him come to me. But this he spoke of the Spirit, which was not yet given, because he was not yet glorified, meaning that there was a death, a burial, a resurrection that needed to happen before the Spirit of God could be poured out. You understand what I'm saying? So the baptism of the Holy Spirit, are you guys with me? It's not something to mess around with. It's not something to clown around with. It does produce joy, praise God. But there's a reverence which comes when you're talking about Pentecost, because there's no Pentecost without death. Hebrews 10:29 said, of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, give me the next verse, and insulted the Spirit, capital S, of grace. Capital S, if you don't know, that's Holy Spirit. Lowercase s, when you read the scriptures, that's your spirit. Capital, Holy Spirit. Understand? It's a proper noun. Even if you go and look up in the Old Testament where it says that put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, you'll see it capitalized, because the spirit of heaviness is a spirit. It's not a feeling. It's not that you're tired from work. It's actually a spirit that comes and praise lifts it. Amen. For somebody. Amen. So what happens is the Holy Spirit is insulted when people treat the blood as common. That's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is such a holy moment. Listen, John was jacked up preaching about this was his message. All right. This was his message, that there's one that's coming after me who doesn't baptize with water, but who baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. What does it mean to be baptized? It means to be immersed. Completely. That's when we do water baptism. You go down into the water. So what's the difference between being born again and being baptized in the Holy Ghost, which is a second experience that I'm going to show you from the scriptures? So many of you are saved, but you've not been yet baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you've got to understand what a significant event that is, and that you don't want to just go part way, but you want to go all the way with everything. You with me? In one case, when you're born again, you get a well inside of you that will never run dry. So the water's in you. But when you get baptized, it's like you're in the water. You understand the difference? you can drink a glass of water, or you can jump in a swimming pool. You understand the difference? Do you understand the difference?
Yes.
So when you get born again, the Holy Spirit comes and resides inside of you. When you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost comes upon you, just like he came on Jesus. What did John say? The Lord spoke to him and he said, when you see the one that the Spirit comes and descends upon and does not leave, he's the one that baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So one of the holiest moments of the church, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? The Father made the promise, but the Son sent the Spirit. You see that? What do you say? Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Luke 24. You with me?
Yep.
See, all three, Father, Son, and Spirit, are connected with this. I'm going to be teaching on this in these weeks, and then some weeks in January. So I want to encourage you guys to come, because you'll learn some things. You need to get your doctrine right with this stuff, because it can be confusing if you don't understand what the Bible actually says. How many times I've sat with people and showed them things in the scriptures that they've been in Christians for years and years, and they just, like, I never saw it. No one ever taught on it. I didn't understand it. And then there it was. I mean, how many of us would realize that in all four of these gospels that John's message was, there's one coming after me that baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I love this. And I have need of that baptism. You find that when Jesus came to be baptized, and you'll find it in the scriptures. See, I didn't read the story all the way through, that John tried to prevent him and said, oh no, you're coming to me to be baptized. I need the baptism that you bring. I know, because the Lord told me that you're the one, you're the Lamb, you're the one that baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right. Hallelujah. So John needed that baptism. Now I want you to go to John chapter 4. No, I don't want you to go to John 4. Although John 4 is pretty good. I want you to go to Luke 24. Isn't this great, just going through the scriptures? Luke 24. We'll start in verse 46. This is Jesus, and he is about to say goodbye to his disciples, and he gives them some instruction. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry or wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed or endued with power from on high. Endued means to fall into a garment gently and be clothed. Okay, I'm going to say it to you this way, and you may hear it 25 times in the next year, because sometimes people need to hear something over and over and over and over again, and that is this. If you are saved but you're not yet baptized in the Holy Ghost, you are naked. You are exposed, and you are not ready to go out and do what God called you to go out and do yet. Listen, you know that all the disciples, that they all deserted Jesus in the time of trial. Do you know that when they got filled, when they got baptized in the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, from that moment on, you didn't see the kind of fear in them. They walked differently after the Holy Ghost came upon them. Why? Because the Bible says this, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, what I'm teaching you right now is the most hotly contested message in the church, because the enemy works very, very hard to bring division in this area, because he does not want people clothed with the power of on high. And he uses tongues to freak people out. Because all through the book of Acts, every time people got filled, they spoke in tongues. People are afraid of that. What has God been doing? For several weeks, he's been teaching us about his nature, that you can trust him. You can't trust the devil. The devil's telling you, you don't want that. Right? You understand? He doesn't want you to have that. Why? Because your prayer life goes from here to here. Yeah. I want to show you something. Come here. Come on up here. Come here, Brian. And then Sherry, come on up here. Face him. And come here, right behind. Just like that. All right. Actually, you come over here behind. Let me think how I used to do this. All right. You can, listen, shh. You can be the Holy Spirit, okay? You're the born again, spirit-filled, baptized, blood-bought believer. You are Jesus. You are God the Father. You got the whole world in your hands. Now watch this. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit searches the deep things of the Father's heart. Okay? And when you pray in the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit authors the prayer. So when he prays in tongues, it's coming from, authored from the Holy Spirit. So it's the prayer that you can't mess up. You understand? And the Bible says that Jesus, who lives to make intercession for us, he hears those prayers, takes those to the Father, and the Father releases those things into the earth. Do you get, you understand? So when you get baptized, listen, when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, okay, and you get a heavenly prayer language. That's why somebody's going to try to tell you, no, they were all speaking in known tongues. I'm going to show you in the scriptures. It does not say that.
That's right.
You need to read what it says, not what somebody says it says. Read what it says.
Yes.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Okay? I'm going to have to tell you that 12 times. You need to read what it says. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to any preacher. Read what it says. Okay? And I'm going to show you that in a minute. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit and you get a prayer language, remember Paul said, if I pray with a ton of men or what? Angels, heavenly languages, okay? And he prays in an unknown tongue, and he's praying in the Spirit. This is the prayer that he can never mess up. Why? Because it has bypassed his mind, is now being birthed by the Holy Spirit. You understand? So when you don't know how to pray, the Bible says you're weak and you know not how to pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes for you with groanings that you can't do. Mm-hmm. So the Holy Spirit, who searches the deep things of God, if you yield, okay, your body, and the Bible says, Romans 12, there's so much here, offer your body as a living sacrifice unto God. Mm-hmm. What is the most unruly part of your body? James chapter 3, it's your tongue. What does the Bible say? No man can tame the tongue, but God can. I'm going to show you some things in the little bit of time that we have left concerning the tongues, but I want you to see this. So what happens is, when this person yields to pray in the Spirit, okay, which is the initial benefit that comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, it says, you shall receive power. It's not just all about tongues. If you picture a sneaker and the tongue is just a small, it's just a small part of it. You need it, but it's a small part of it, but you need the whole shoe. You know, you can't, the tongue's not enough, mm-hmm. right? So it's a part of it. But why am I focused on the tongue? Because that's the part that the enemy works to try to confuse you about. So I want to show you what the scriptures actually say, what the scriptures actually teach. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, guys. You guys sit down. All right. So first we're going to go to Acts chapter 1. Now, let's go right to Acts chapter 2, because for sake of time. Are you with me? Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues. That means everybody got one. All of them that were available. And they sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit, capital S, there it is, see, gave them utterance. So you all you're doing is you're yielding your body, you're yielding your tongue, but the Holy Spirit is the one that's giving you the words, the language, what to pray. It's why people that are not baptized in the Holy Ghost struggle to pray longer than 5 minutes. Because the Bible says you're weak and you don't know how to pray as you ought. But when you start praying in tongues, here's what happens when you pray in tongues. The more that you pray in tongues, the more you want to pray in tongues. Amen. I mean, I literally go to bed praying in tongues, wake up praying in tongues, drive down the road praying in tongues. I sit in a movie theater. You know, I was watching Avengers with my son, and I was sitting there praying in tongues. And my son said, what's the matter? I said, nothing. He said, why are you praying in tongues? I said, that's just what I do. I just pray in tongues. Amen. Praying all the time. How does the Bible says pray without ceasing? How do you do that? Yeah, no, there's a gift. What is God trying to do? Restore communication. It's the opposite of the Tower of Babel. You understand? Where he confused communication. Now he's restoring communication, and he gives us prayer language to be able to communicate. Now watch this. Verse 5. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude, that means all this people, all these devout men, they came together and were confused. Why were they confused? Because, watch this, every one of them heard them speak in his own language. That's what it says. It does not say that they spoke in native languages. It says every one, meaning all the people out in the street, heard them. Who is them? The ones that all got filled. Speak in his own language. Do you understand? So watch. Now it's going to emphasize that point again. Let everything be established by two or three witnesses. So watch this, okay? So once again, let me just go back. They were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all of these men who speak Galileans? How is it, watch this, that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? That's what the scripture says. I'm going to submit to you what's been taught, that they're all speaking all known languages, is impossible based on that scripture. Because what they said is every one of us hears all of them speak in our native language. Do you understand? So let me explain. If you were Chinese, you heard them all speaking in Chinese. If you spoke Greek, you heard them all speaking Greek. If you were Italian, you heard them all speaking Italian. You with me? If you were Hebrew, you heard them all speaking Hebrew. Look at me. That's what it says. Forget what you've been told. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to anybody that tells you. Just look at what it actually says. Come on, don't look at me. Look at it. How is it that we hear each one in our own language? It never ever there says that they're speaking known languages. It says that they hear in their native language. So here's part of the miracle. They're all praying in tongues, but all these guys are getting what? A spiritual gift of interpretation. They're all hearing what they're saying. It's still supernatural. Why do we say this? Because somebody will come and try to tell you that when you're praying in the tongues of angels, that, well, that's not a known language, so that's not the baptism of the Holy Ghost and this and that. And on the day of Pentecost, they were all speaking known languages and this and that. And listen, you need to be convinced by looking at the scripture what the scriptures actually say. All right. Why am I saying this? You know, I have to go through all this so people will get over the tongues thing so they can get baptized in the Holy Ghost, which Jesus came and died to bring you. You understand how serious the subject is? And here's what people go, I don't want that. Why? Well, I feel weird praying in tongues. That's where we have to lay that, listen, we got to lay that junk down and submit our bodies and submit our tongues and say, God, whatever you want for me, it's better than what I could ever come up with myself. Amen. All right. I sense a yes. All right. Let's go to Acts chapter 8 real quickly. Oh, gosh. Cage the time, Jesus. That's good? Yeah, Acts chapter 8. We'll start in verse 14. This is where I'm going to show you that there's two experiences. One is salvation, and the second one is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because some people are going to try to say, no, there's just one experience. Now, listen, for some people, it happens simultaneously. You might get saved, filled all in the same moment, the same day, whatever. But for other people, there's a gap in between. You got saved, you got baptized or whatever, and then there was another day that you got filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes can be years in between. I got born again when I was a kid. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost when I was 24 years old. And you know what happened when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost? Well, I'll tell you my story shortly, but when I got baptized, all of a sudden this started to become so much easier to understand.
Yes.
It's amazing when the Holy Spirit is on your shoulder. All of a sudden the words were like jumping out at me like, wow, I get it. That's what happened to Peter and all them. Day of Pentecost, this fisherman stands up and all of a sudden he's filled and he starts getting revelation. Why? Because the Spirit is now on him, with him. Right? Okay, verse 14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive everyone the Holy Spirit. Watch, for as yet he, who's he? The Holy Spirit had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, you don't get baptized until after you're saved. I feel like I'm... Yeah. Right? Some of you got baptized recently, right? Baptism is an outward expression of the inward faith, right? That you understand? So they believed, they were water baptized, and then they sent the Peter and John because there was something more after the water baptism. Okay, now listen. Get rid of your religion right now. You need to get the spirit of REM on you. I'm losing your religion, okay? And listen what I'm saying to you. Get rid of your religion. Look at what the scriptures say. They were saved. They were water baptized. The Holy Spirit had fallen on none of them yet. Now, did I make that up or do you guys see that? You understand? You with me? Let's try that again. Okay, so they were saved. They were water baptized. But as yet, the Holy Spirit had fallen on none of them yet. Now, Was it beneficial for them that the Holy Spirit would fall upon them? Yes, and we know that it was because they sent Peter and John down there for this purpose. They're saved, they're water baptized, but there's a second experience that they need because if they don't have this, they're naked. They cannot go do what they're called to do without being clothed. You with me? Yes, because you need the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's what John was after. The John the Baptist, there's no record, guys, of any miracle ever that the guy did. John the Baptist, there's no record of the lame walking or the blind hearing or the dead being raised. There's nothing. There's no water turning into wine. There's no miracle. There's no record. All he did was preach. And he preached so well that, man, you know, people thought maybe he's the Christ. And what was he saying? Is as great as this is, there's a baptism that I still desire. That's good, isn't it? That's all you really need. If John the Baptist craved it. No thanks, Pastor. I don't want to pray in tongues. I don't know what to do with that, except for say, hey, look, there's a heart issue. Because once you've been exposed, now, if you don't know the truth and you've been taught differently, that's fine, but that's none of you now. You're guilty of knowing the truth now. You're responsible for what you know because you came here. You could have stayed home. You would have been good, but no longer. You came tonight. Now you're like, oh man, what am I going to do? I got to yield my tongue. I got to get filled. I got to get the power of God coming on me.
Yeah.
My life's going to change. And all the people that I come in contact with. Now go to Acts chapter 10. God bless you. Acts chapter 10. There's just so much I want to show you. All right. Let's start in verse 39. Actually, let's start in 38. This is Peter preaching a message to the entire household of Cornelius. Now, we think a household today, we think the three of them. You know, no. It's like the whole clan. And what happened was, this is such a story. This Gentile guy, okay, caught God's attention. And you know how he caught God's attention? Not only did he have a prayer life, but his giving to the poor caught God's attention. And the Bible said it had gone up like an aroma to God as a memorial, and it attracted God's attention. That's, we can never forget the poor. A portion of the tithe is to be set aside for the poor. You know, so his alms, his giving had caught the attention. And so what happened was, is the Lord visited him and said, send for Peter. And Peter got a vision when he was on a rooftop waiting for a meal. And the Lord, the Spirit spoke to him and said, there's three guys coming. When they come, go with them. And so they took him to Cornelius' household, and they had this whole, all these people set up for him to preach to. So Peter began to preach to them, and here's what he preached, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth through the Holy Spirit and with power, watch this, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. And we were witnesses, watch this, of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews in Jerusalem, who they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who is ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Amen. You know what I love about this? That when Peter was communicating that the forgiveness of sins is found in the blood of Jesus, the Holy Ghost couldn't contain himself and had to come right at that moment. Well, he was still speaking these words. Look what he was saying. And the Holy Spirit, boom, came on. Well, there can only be one or two people because you need a translator. No. He came upon them all. I'll explain that to you because some of you are confused by that. You know, we're not supposed to all pray in tongues at the same time. Well, the Bible would violate itself if that was true. So there must be something else that we don't fully understand. I'm going to explain it to you because you came tonight. Very, very simple. Okay? So watch this. So the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word and those of the circumcision, that means the Jews who believed, they were astonished because they thought that this was only for Jews and not for the whole world. As many as came with Peter because the gift, everyone say the gift. Oh my gosh, how can we say no? Of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. How did they know that the Holy Spirit was poured out? Look at verse 46. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now, we saw that in the day of Pentecost. When the Holy Ghost came, what happened? They spoke with tongues. When the Holy Ghost came here, what happened? They spoke with tongues. Let everything be established by two or three witnesses, what the scriptures say. That means when you see stuff multiple times, you can build doctrine of it. You'll find in the New Testament, so the Holy Spirit came and they spoke the word of God boldly. But you'll find that one time. The Holy Spirit of God came and they prophesied. You'll find that one time. The only one you find every time is tongues. You with me? Why? Because that's how God set it up. And part of it has to do with what he's trying to do with our mouth. And I'll teach you that real quickly. Acts 19. Well, we're going to Acts 19. Well, oh, come on, cage the time, God. Acts 19, it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, and Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, who did he find? He found, what does the Bible call them? Disciples. Okay? That means they were believers. You understand? That means they were saved. You with me? He found some disciples. He found them born again. And what did he say to them? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? Okay, so they were baptized with water. So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people they should believe on him who would come after them, that is Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. You see that? Do you see that? All right. All right. I showed you three witnesses from the book of Acts that when the Holy Spirit fell, what was the evidence? They spoke with tongues. Acts 8, there's a sorcerer who wants the power because he saw something happen when they laid hands on him. What was it? He saw them speak in tongues. Now, I want you to go real quickly to Isaiah chapter 6. Cage the time, Lord. I want to show you that God is concerned about the tongue and what comes out of our mouth. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, their angels. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another, said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe, this is Isaiah, I said, woe is me, for I am undone. Why? Because I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the angels of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken from the tongues from the altar. This is fire. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. I'll just let the Holy Ghost work on your hearts right there. Well, tonight's your night, brother. James chapter 3. We'll start in verse 1. My brethren, let not many become teachers, knowing we shall receive a stricter judgment, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they're turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, just like this, your tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little tiny fire can kindle. So meaning you could throw a match out and the whole 25,000 acres burned down. And it's compared to what? The tongue. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, reptile, creature of the sea is tamed, has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison, and with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in their similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Go with me, I believe, to Matthew 15, I believe. I think Matthew might be. Yeah, here it is. Matthew 15. This will be our last scripture. Then I'm going to explain something about the interpreter. Then I got a couple minutes. I'm going to pray for you guys to get filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. Amen? All right. Chapter 15, verse 7. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, this people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear and understand, not what goes into a mouth," meaning food, "defiles a man." Praise the Lord for pulled pork, amen. "But what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." Then his disciples came and said to him, "Do you not know the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" You know, religious people get upset when you start talking about the tongue. Why did Jesus say that? Because their hearts are far from him. But if you want everything that God had, you're like, yes, I want everything he has, which includes the ability to pray when I don't know how. Amen. "But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a ditch." Well, that means that anybody that follows after them under the guise of religion falls into the same ditch with them. Are you this who you want to be your teacher? Then go that way and you fall into a ditch and not experience all that I have for you. Then Peter answered and said to him, "Explain the parable." You know, this cracks me up. It wasn't a parable. You know, what does this mean? Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding?" Even Jesus were like, "Really? You didn't get it?" You know? "Do you not understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man." Okay, listen, there's so much more, but does that give you some understanding about why God's concerned about the tongue?
Yes.
So the baptism of the Holy Spirit involves getting control of your tongue. He wants to change the things you say. Why? Because your tongue's a rudder. It guides the direction of your entire life. You're trying to go one way in your flesh, but you're praying in tongues, and that's taking you in the direction that God wants you to go. You don't know how to deal with stuff, you pray about it in the Spirit. Have you ever felt like there's something you need to pray about and you don't know how? What did Paul say? "I'll pray with the Spirit, tongues, and I'll pray with the understanding," your intellect. Yes. When you pray in the Spirit long enough, here's what happens. Your mind starts to catch up with what's going on in the Spirit. So you'd be praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, and all of a sudden, out of your native language, your English or whatever language you speak, you start to actually pray out in your native language what you've been praying about in the Spirit. So your mind's catching up with your Spirit. Your mind's getting renewed with what's already going on inside the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Paul said, "I'll pray with the Spirit." Well, he said, "And I'll sing with the Spirit, and I'll sing with the understanding." That means singing in tongues is biblical. Yeah. Now, I showed you in Acts chapter 2. I showed you in Acts chapter 10. I showed you in Acts 19 where multiple people, in one case 120, another case Cornelius' whole clan, and then in Acts 19 it actually says there were 12 people. And they all got filled all at the same time and were all praying in tongues. Yeah. Let everything be established by two or three witnesses, which means that everybody can pray in tongues at the same time when your tongues are directed towards heaven. Right. Paul was addressing an issue in the church of Corinth where people were getting up and publicly giving a tongue to people with no interpreter. And so then the people could not understand what was being said. And so then Paul said, here's how you fix this. If you're going to give a tongue to people, somebody needs to interpret what it says. Does that make sense to you? It's so simple. If I spoke to you in Italian, you don't speak Italian, I need an interpreter to tell you what I said. So that's what was going on there. And people have taken that and they're like, you can't pray in tongues in church. People will come in and we love the church. And you know, they're here two and three times. Hear somebody pray in tongues and be like, I got to get out of here. And it's very frustrating because you understand all this stuff is biblical. Do you know in the same passage that it says that let him keep quiet unless there's an interpreter to explain, it also says let your woman be silent in the church. Like two verses away from there. So do we, when you hear a girl or a woman speak in the church, or you know, do you go, oh my God, I got to get out of here? No, I'm not talking about teaching. I'm talking about the wife leans over to her husband and says, it's hot in here. She's now spoken in the church. And the Bible says she has to remain silent in the church. If you're going to take that hard line with that whole passage, you have to take the hard line with all of it. You can't pick and choose what you're comfortable with. Amen. I'm preaching to the choir anyway. You're all like, yeah, amen. Now listen, I covered a lot in a short amount of time. There's a lot here, okay? You understand? But that explains to you that whole interpreter thing. If that was too quickly, come ask me. I'll explain it to you. Okay? Listen, come play keys. When I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, here's what happened. I was in my church. I've been praying at home for the baptism of the Holy Spirit because I had some books that I was reading, and at the end of the book, there was a prayer. Pray for to get filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you'll pray that I fully expect to speak in other tongues. And then I was praying, and I wanted it, and I was struggling, and I just couldn't. I was like, I just didn't realize I had to yield my tongue. And so then I showed up at the church, and I answered an altar call at the church, and they said, "We have a gift for you. You know, so come with us." And I thought, I'll probably get in a church calendar. Maybe a coffee mug. Praise the Lord. So I come into this back room, and there's, you know, a whole bunch of people. I don't know. There were 5 or 6 people there, and there was one guy had one arm, a one-armed man. It was a one-armed man. Sorry, Spirit of the Fugitive. It was like, I've seen the movie so many times. So they start beating around the bush, and they're like, I know you've been saved, but they're like, there's a secondary experience because here it says that these people were saved and they were water baptized, but then they sent this. And I said, I know what it is. I want it. And then they were like, oh, yeah, all right, yeah. We got a live one. They didn't have to talk me into it. You understand? The Lord led me to a place where somebody would help me. Amen. Because I've been praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit because I wanted everything that God had for me. So the one-armed guy, they say they laid hands on him. I got a hand. The one-armed guy laid a hand on me, and they prayed over me, and they said, we're going to pray in tongues, and we're going to say, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we're going to lay our hands on you, and we lay our hands on you, we're going to say, speak, and when we say, speak, you're going to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and you begin to speak in other tongues, right? So I said, okay, and so they said, listen, when we say, speak, don't go, because God will not come with a crowbar and force you to speak. You've got to yield your tongue. You've got to open your mouth, and you've got to make noise from within, and then the Holy Spirit gives you the language. That's your part of participating. You understand? Then they said this. Also, when we say speak, don't speak in your native language, because, you know, you can't speak in English and French at the same time. You can't speak in tongues in English at the same time. You understand? So they want me to speak in other tongues. So they said 2 things. Number 1, don't clam up. And number 2, don't speak in your native language, but go ahead and yield your tongue. Now listen, this is going to happen for some of you here in a couple minutes. You need to understand something. This is not something that you can process in your mind. It is supernatural. It is God downloads something into your spirit. It's like when you download something, you understand? You just, boom, you press a button and the thing gets downloaded. That's how it happens. It does not get downloaded here. It gets downloaded here. The Bible said, out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water. This is something that rises from up inside. You understand? Holy Spirit comes on you, comes in you, encompasses you. So when they said, speak, I yielded my tongue, and boom, immediately began to speak in tongues, right? And not only that, I felt for the first time since I was 6 years old, the tangible presence of God come on me. You understand? I felt the Holy Ghost come on me, and I was just like, oh! It was oh so good. And, you know, in the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came on them, there were people that thought that they were intoxicated and they were drinking because it had an intoxicating effect on them when the Holy Ghost came upon them. Are you with me? Because it brought joy, it brought laughter, it brought freedom, and they were experiencing something that they'd only ever seen mimicked in the natural. Some people will go to church, deny the Holy Spirit, go home, drink the wine of the world, and won't drink the wine of the Spirit. You understand? If you get the wine of the Spirit, then you don't want the wine of the world. It's just a counterfeit of what God wants to give you, you know? So I was getting all woozy and tipsy, and I said, can I sit down? I asked if I can sit down, and they were like, yeah, you know, you could sit down. And it was, and my life changed from that moment on. I've personally prayed for thousands of people, thousands, to get filled with the Holy Spirit in different countries, continents, thousands of people. One time I got set out to a conference, a Baptist conference, in California, and there was a man there. We got set up with these pastors to pray. I got to tell you this story because it's worth it. We got set up with these pastors to pray, and this one pastor was so broken because something had horrific had happened to his daughter, and I mean horrific, and the guy felt so guilty because he'd allowed, you know, this thing into their home and what happened to her, and so I didn't know how to pray about it in the natural because this guy was just losing it. He was just so broken. So I just put my hands on him and very gently behind him just began to pray in tongues. I wasn't trying to be rude. I wasn't trying to shout. I wasn't trying to make a show. But underneath my breath, I was just going, just praying in tongues. And so then we got done. I left, and I noticed these two Baptist pastors are trailing me. And they're like, hey, where are you going for lunch? And so I know they want the Holy Ghost. That's what this is all about, is they've come for the Lord sent me to California to get these guys filled with the Holy Ghost. So we went, we got some burritos. We went down to the park. One of the pastors had done 27 years in San Quentin, found a Baptist tract in prison, got saved, got out, got hooked up with his church, was serving with this other pastor. And then the pastor tells me this. We go and we're sitting there and we're eating our burritos and I'm waiting for them to start in on me. I was with Steve Ferrante, you know. I'm waiting for them to start because I know why we're there. They followed me because they wanted the Holy Ghost. And so the pastor says to me, he looks and he goes, hey, this Mexican guy goes, hey, man, tell us about them tongues, man. So I spent about 10 minutes explaining the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I said, do you guys want us to pray for you right here in the park that you'd get filled? And the other pastor, the senior pastor, said, the Lord spoke to me and said we were to follow you and to do whatever you said to do. So I said, let's stand up and pray right here. So I stood up my hand and I was about to say, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And as soon as I put up my hand like this, the power of God, boom, hit them both. And the one fell out praying in tongues and we caught him and laid him down on the ground. The other one, boom, at the same exact second, got both hit with the power of God, praying in tongues, completely transformed their entire ministry. I kept in touch with them for years. And that's where the Lord sent us out there. Listen, I have so many of those stories. You know, Sarah's daughter, Lily, you know, was 9 years old and just getting after God. And I just looked at her and I just knew she's ready for everything God has. So I just said, hey, come here. And we prayed over her. And in 3 seconds that she was filled with the Holy Ghost, got her prayer language. And, you know, you understand, this is nothing to be scared of. You know, people get afraid. And Jesus said this. He said, when you ask the Father, when you ask your Father for a fish or something to eat or a piece of bread, he doesn't send you a snake or a scorpion. And he goes, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And so people are afraid, like, if I ask for the Holy Spirit, something bad's going to happen to me. And that's why Jesus said that. It's like, no, he's a good Father. And the promise that he pours out on you, it's to help you, not to hurt you. His plans are good for you. They're not bad for you. I think we said enough. You guys ready? Stand to your feet, please. Amen. All right. Some of you need to get filled right now. Get out of your seats and come on up here right now. And if you haven't prayed in a really long time or you need to get refilled, okay, come on up. Come on up. Come on now. Come on. There's some of you need to get filled. Stop resisting the Holy Spirit. No, no, no. Just face and don't ask any questions. Yeah, no, come here, DeBrian. Take care. Come up, 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 right up here. Come on. Yeah, there we go. Chris, come on. You're going to come lay hands on her, okay? All right, come on, everybody. Come on right up. Give me a little less light in here. Yeah, come up closer. Come closer to me. Eric, come on, man. What are you waiting for, buddy? Yeah, there you go. Here. Yeah, come on. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Good. Come on, man. There we go, brother. Yeah, man. Nice shirt. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're all behind going to be putting our hands out towards you. They're going to all pray in the Spirit. You guys all start praying in tongues. Go ahead, everybody out there. If you're out there, that means you're praying in tongues. Listen, if you're out there, that means you're praying in tongues. Or why are you saying no when everything I just showed you is in the Scriptures? It's time that you surrender to what the Scriptures say. Amen. All right, so the rest of us here, here's what we're going to do. You guys all look at me. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray a prayer. We're going to lift our hands, and we're going to pray a prayer. You're going to repeat after me, and we're just going to ask the Father to fill us, to Jesus to fill us, because he's the one who fills us, to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. Okay, Brian and Angela, you guys come around. You're going to help me. Okay, get ready. So come on up here. And we're going to pray for Jesus to fill us with the Holy Spirit. And then I'm going to say, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to say, now speak. And when I say speak, you got to yield your tongue and let it rip. Don't hold back anything. Some of you, right now, you might even be getting filled already. Don't hold back anything, okay? So let's go ahead and pray, and then listen, don't hold back. Don't do the crowbar thing. Don't speak in another language. Speak in tongues as loud and as long as you can, all right? You're going to get filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray this prayer. Say,
Jesus,
fill me with your Holy Spirit. I fully expect to speak in other tongues as your Spirit gives me utterance. Now, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now speak. Brother, come on. There you go. Keep praying. Come on. This church is Pentecostal. Brother, come on. Come on, keep praying, keep going. I'm going to call the worship team back. Yeah, I want to call the worship team back. Come on. Keep praying. You guys can keep praying. Stay right here. Stay right here, you guys. Stay right here. That was awesome, huh? Yeah, come on, man. Wasn't that awesome, brother? Come on, man. You look drunk. Yeah, tonight was your night, man. You almost stayed home, but no, you can't. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Now, if you're afraid to come up here, but you're still here, I want you to know you could pray all by yourself and get filled with the Holy Spirit. My wife, after that night I got filled, I got in the car and I said, I prayed in tongues. And she was like, I don't want to hear about it. It freaks me out. And I was like, I don't know what to do now because, you know, this is kind of a big moment for me. So she had to process. So she went home, and within a week, she prayed all by herself for the Holy Spirit to come upon her, and the Holy Spirit came upon her, and she began to speak in tongues, just her and Jesus. That's it. Okay? So there's no condemnation, you know. Sometimes, like for me, all these people screaming at me in tongues and laying hands, that's my personality. I'm like, come on. But for her, that's not her personality. Sometimes people have a hard time receiving in that environment, okay? So you just, you know, that's for somebody here, you know. No condemnation. You know? You don't go here and go, I missed my moment, now I'm never getting filled. But no, that's not the case. Yeah, you just get along with the Lord, he'll take care of you, okay? Sometimes I heard of people, they're so in their head, they want everything that God has, but they're so in their head that the Lord actually fills them when they're sleeping. They wake up praying in tongues because they needed to shut this off long enough that God could do something internally. So anyway, so listen, the Lord messed with all your bedtimes tonight. So I'm sorry about that. Well, I'm not sorry, but it's not all the time, but it's once in a while. It was 24 minutes longer. Okay, guys? But look how many people got filled. People got totally touched and filled. Jerry, my brother Jerry got filled here praying in tongues. And he was saying, he just said, he goes, you know how long I've been waiting for that? I've been wanting that, you know? And so the wait is over. Praise God. Amen. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, so God's moving. Amen. So let's just give him glory. Father, thank you so much for all that you did in this house, all the people that you got filled, Lord, and what you're going to do in their lives, Lord God. And I just plead the blood of Jesus over them all and their families. Bless them with travel mercies, supernatural sleep as they go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Aren't you glad you came tonight? Praise God. God bless you all. See you Sunday.